One simple subscription and you get back-to-back podcasts from Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed. One simple change can make every day epic. And with new Optus prepaid plans, every recharge is epic.
Yeah, well done. That's our producer, Kimmy.
You're
on, mate. You're on. Yeah, you're on. So, Ross Green was on to tell us about the zombie apartments that are in, apparently 19,000 of them.
It's not as fun as it sounds either, guys. It's disappointing. It's like ghostwriting. You know when someone says they're a ghostwriter? It's not a ghostwriting a book.
Nah, it's just a...
it's just someone taking all the credit for your
someone
work.
Someone who can't be bothered.
Yeah. So that's going to be a thing. Grant reviews Disney on Ice.
That's a bloody good show. Jeez, it's a good show.
Yeah, looking at boobs.
I was not looking at boobs.
You kind of were.
No, I was not. I was avoiding it, but not because it's a bad thing.
Spoke to a sugar baby?
Yes, we did. She goes on dates with older dudes for gifts, not
definitely
money.
Definitely nothing else. How dare you suggest or think or insinuate such a thing?
Not even close. But
she's not even, she's proud of what she does.
Yeah, just handbags and dinner.
Handbags and dinner.
Umbrella through ankle. Good yarn.
Oh yeah, what's attacked you? Inanimate objects.
Ooh. You led the first break. People can look forward to that.
Yeah, enjoy.
Do you even remember what it was, idiot?
Yeah, of course I do.
Don't look at your sheet, you mom. He looked at the sheet.
It was the basketball.
You looked at your sheet.
It was that loser from America who was playing just a friendly game of basketball, decided to call the cops when
someone
touched
me. Oh, you don't have to listen to the podcast now. Sorry about that.
Well done.
Skip past that bit. He just told you the story. I love you.
See ya.
I'm just riding you. I am riding you so hard.
Buzzkill.
Don't you think I'm feeling it?
Aren't I? It's funny though. Can't you see? It's my way.
It's so fun.
No, you just got to get better. See ya.
It's good.
Bye, mate.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Right now, showtime. Are you ready? Are you ready for star time?
Let's find out. Ready? Let's go.
Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed.
At 6 o'clock on the dot, morning guys.
Morning, Eduardo.
Grant, we're all watching the screen, the wild boars, the cave, the Thai boys in the cave, they're out. They had a press conference, so we'll hear some of what they had to say through a translator.
What an incredible story. The whole world was watching. I was talking to a lot of media people yesterday who were all camped there for a couple of days, waiting and watching and filming, and God, it's just such a great story, such a happy ending.
I remember seeing the first reports of it. I was away and just thinking, what do you mean a whole soccer team of 12-year-old boys are underground? It just seems so bizarre.
And then how are they trapped and how are they get in the first place and why can't
they
get out?
And it was dire. I remember they were saying there's no way that all these boys are going to survive at the start. Like they were really up against it.
Was the rain.
The idea of the water rising is like the worst possible case scenario to imagine.
Have they been kept from their parents this long?
No, they've seen them.
But they're out. They've done a press conference. It's very cute and a few surprising things have come from it that we'll be talking about later.
Yeah, we'll hear that.
A few of them may find themselves grounded for a little while.
I would imagine.
Oh, right. They're so cute. We're just looking on the
channel. They are so cute. We are going to be doing today $200,000 Beat the Bomb. We know that. Of course, Sing It Out.
Mm-hmm.
Blockers. Blockers is coming up. So all we've got to think about now is, okay, anything. Yesterday, I think I might have made it slightly too difficult. There's $500. It is 30-second timer. If you're on the line at the end of the 30 seconds, then you win the money.
Just got to chat to us for 30 seconds.
Anything.
Keep us interested. Tell us what you're doing for the day. Tell us what your kids are up to. Tell us what you're doing, for the next holiday. Anything.
I'll take a great smoothie recipe.
I'll take any recipe.
Wow. I'm on the market.
I can't wait to block that.
I'm in the market for a smoothie.
Best holiday experience.
Make us laugh. Don't entertain us.
That's the problem.
Yeah, don't ask people to be creative.
Don't ask people
to
enter there because they'll be driving now thinking, I'm pretty sure that's your job.
Okay. Tony Martin, actually a fair point.
Very legendarily, Tony Martin and Mick Malloy, when they did drive on this very station, Martin Malloy, another station was doing a part in their show called Make Us Laugh, which was you would have to ring up and you would have to make the host of that radio show laugh with some joke that you'd come up with.
Yeah.
And Mick and Tony, of course, thought, well, surely that's our job. So they started a segment on their program called Do Our Job For Us.
Amazing. Doesn't Sam Pang have a segment called Make Me Laugh?
Once again, someone who is deeply averse to any work.
Amazing.
Let's get the engine started. Grant Denyer is bringing us...
Yes, Grant's running engine starter today.
Can't wait. Yeah, a cautionary tale, Grant Denyer.
Strap in, guys. It's a lot of fun. Enjoy yourself.
All right, great.
It comes with a warning, too.
Oh,
Oh, you got 10 seconds.
For some of you. For some of you in this room.
Sydney, start your engines.
Start your engines, brothers.
Cover the big stories today. The Thailand cave rescue. We'll hear from those boys at 7 o'clock.
Didn't plenty. Make a movie.
Well, what's the difficulty? Surely. What was the problem with the Chileans in the mine when they did make the movie?
What?
The problem
I didn't
was they
it.
Were Chileans in a mine.
All right.
Lighting.
No one. It's not bad, mate. they know
the language barrier.
No one in America wants to see Chileans in a mine, so they would have to change it to, like, the cast from Saved by the Bell.
I was going to say, so the Thai boys would all of a sudden, okay.
Yeah, become... they're not so Thai anymore.
No.
So they may make a Thai movie, but I doubt they'll make an American one. Yep. So, Grant Denyer, you've got a story to start the show today.
Similar sort of caliber of story, to be honest. Actually, no, this is one of the lamest things I have ever seen and witnessed. It's probably the most disgusting sporting performance ever seen on any sporting arena anywhere ever.
Oh, gosh.
Police in Virginia have been called to a basketball game in an LA fitness gym after a player was aggressively screened by his mate in this friendly game. And he went down so hard that he quickly ran to the front desk of the gym and decided to call the cops for his aggressive block. It's true. This is a true story. How disgusting is this? How lame do you want to be?
You calling the cops if you get fouled? You calling the cops if you get fouled?
Have you ever been called for a basketball foul before?
No.
This is your first time?
That's my first basketball foul.
Can you believe it? He's playing a friendly game with his mates. He gets checked as he's going for a shot. Bang, goes down, hits the deck. Like running to mum, goes to the front desk, goes 911, brings the cops to the center.
I mean...
Come on.
I saw a picture of the guy, and he fits the following category: all the gear and no idea.
Big hat, no cattle.
Yeah, he had I don't even know what you call them, but he had two sort of very, I think the Nike kind of very elaborate arm
the
socks.
The arm warmers?
Yeah, to keep his arms warm.
Of course.
And then a singlet.
Thank God.
Like he had... The outfit would have been $400, $500 with shoes.
I love that he got fouled, and instead of taking the shot, because he was entitled to 2 free shots, obviously, fouled up on the run, he called the cops.
Yeah, he did.
That is an amazing commitment to the one-on-one game with a friend.
And I thought it was disgusting. I thought, actually, maybe that's practical. Maybe you do need to establish some boundaries, you know, in environments like that. And I thought maybe that we could apply a similar theory, perhaps, you know, to this environment when, you know, things like this happen.
I'm afraid for
Shut
my
up.
Life.
Good you should be. I'm going to rough you up this so bad.
That's it. I'm pressing 0-0-0. You're done.
Oh, they're on the way.
You're done.
Here they are.
You're going to be that hard of me in here? Calling the cops now, Em.
You deserve it. And your behaviour is often as ridiculous as this person who has called the cops on the hard foul.
How is my behaviour that rough or disgusting?
Because you never know what's going on, mate.
You know what? I just like to sit back and just take a relaxed approach to life. Not everyone needs to be a detail hound. There's two captains already in this studio. We can't all fight for the same space.
No, there's a difference between being a captain and having a clue what's going on in the job you're doing.
Mate,
there's two different things.
If this job requires me to know what day it is, I don't even want this job.
Oh, my God. That's not a bad way of looking at
this
it, actually.
This is considered the most elite, hardest spot in breakfast radio.
Fun, isn't it?
And that is your attitude?
Is it not okay to just turn up and just join the company of a couple of fantastically funny, wonderful
not if you want
Australian
to get paid.
Comedians?
Oh, my
fantastic.
God.
Fantastic. Don't try and suck up to it. Like, don't try and, like, sort of, like, suck up your way into
having
to know what to do.
You know
what was that number
people?
Again?
0-0-0. Come on. Block is next.
Come on. 0-0-0.
Block that call. Thank you very much. We need somebody who can talk about
30 seconds.
Blockers available now on DVD, Blu-ray and digital.
One day I'll stop doing
that. Get you every time. I love it.
You know why? Because it goes down. The song ends. So Blockers, yes, now available on DVD, Blu-ray and digital. So 30 second timer. If you're on the line at the end, you get the $500. There's no more explanation. Let's just get to it. Cassie from Springwood, take it away.
All right. So, you know when you drink water and it goes straight through you those days that you're just always on the toilet? For ultimate hydration, all you need to do is put pink Himalayan salt in your water and infuse some fruit, and then your body absorbs all the minerals and you don't need to go to the toilet as much.
Oh.
Block, I mean, I loved it, but block because you don't have juice. Sean from Parramatta, take it away.
Oh, good morning. My kids love to watch a show called Storybots, and in the show they talk about this tiger.
You win, Sean.
You win. Without even telling the fact.
You've got to get the fact out now.
And in this tiger, they say that the skin colour matches the pattern of the fur. So if you shave a tiger, the skin matches the patterns on the fur.
Oh, does it?
Wonderful.
Is that true?
That's wonderful,
I
mate.
I did a bit of research on David Attenborough, and it is actually true.
That's wonderful.
That's a good fact.
You've done really well there.
That's $500 fact right there. Well done.
We're going to give Cassie a copy of Blockers on digital download because that was a good fact, but she ran out of steam, ironically, for someone talking about hydration. So the game is When Objects Attack. So this came to us via a sunbathing Brit, which is already problematic.
That's an oxymoron.
Okay. Impaled by beach umbrella.
Jesus, that really escalated quickly, Ed.
Didn't it? As firefighters use bolt cutters to remove it after an accident.
Hang on, you've missed a few steps. What happened?
She was pinned to the floor of the beach by a runaway umbrella that went straight through her leg.
But
bang.
Did someone throw it at her?
Gust of wind.
Oh, wow.
The wind.
That must have been a big gust.
Yeah.
So it picked up the umbrella, which can happen.
And then as it
came down with such force that it speared her to the beach.
Yeah. She stuck to the beach.
Wow. God. Oh, my God.
She's okay. Mm. I mean, she's got an umbrella in her leg, but apart from that,
what part of that is okay, exactly?
She's now, she is okay, Grant, I assure you. But she was in America, actually. So she's gone to the Jersey Shore of all places. Yeah. And
Ricky Z saw it.
Yeah, the situation.
What did Ricky Z see? You want to
Ricky Z said, bruh.
Bruh.
With five U's. Yeah. Holy shush. This lady had an umbrella go through her leg 5 feet away from me, exclamation point. There was a strong gust of wind. There were only a couple of umbrellas flying, so she's been desperately unlucky.
Yeah, and he even realised that. That could have been me.
Yeah, it could have been me. Poor old Ricky Z.
Ricky Z.
If you're looking for Ricky Z, his username on Instagram is insert4coins.
Ricky Z's going to get a whole bunch of new followers now. I'm looking him up. When random objects attack.
Yeah, when objects attack. When have you been attacked by an object?
You said you have a particularly aggressive drawer.
There's a drawer at our house.
What's going on?
In the kitchen. Now, they have these drawers. When we bought this house, Tiff was like, oh, it's a slow closing drawer.
Soft touch?
Yeah, is that what they're called?
I've just paid for some soft touch to go into my new kitchen.
Well, there you go. So if you don't know what they are, the drawer's about to close and then it stops itself right towards the end and then sort of lightly glides to its closing.
I don't know why.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
I don't know why. Everyone wants a soft touch, though.
I have no idea what the
problem is. I don't know why I want a soft touch, but I want it.
Well, because it doesn't matter with what force you push it closed, you can it just sort of finishes the job off it on itself. So you don't have to be so delicate, you just kind of give it a whack.
But there's one drawer in the kitchen that has it's on some sort of randomizer, so every now and again it'll just fling itself closed like it's an old cash register going like so much so that people sort of stand with their hand but they lean their body away to the vicious drawer. And my wife has told me because the baby's at a point now when I hold him, his legs dangle.
Oh,
just don't put the baby near the drawer. Don't put the baby near the vicious drawer. No. I don't want his legs getting caught. Because people have been you get napped on the leg, because it's the wooden sort of frames, it gets you on the leg on the way past.
Yeah. Oh, you got to watch that. And considering your legs, you're quite tall. You would have other precious things in the,
the
danger zone.
I get it in the leg.
Always back to the penis. Yeah. Mate, it is your touchstone, are you? Yeah. Why?
You don't want to have a nasty accident like that at home. He's thinking about making baby number two.
He's not dangling his nuts in the drawer. They're in his pants.
It's called the drawer of death for a reason.
It's true. So, have you been attacked by an object? Because they can be.
It happens at home. You know, there's this one thing, and you swear to God it's got it out for you.
Because it does. It
probably.
So, 131060, have you been attacked by a vicious object?
It's fallen from a shelf from the sky.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Falling.
Yeah.
Outside. I've got some wonderful things here at the moment. There's tickets to Stomp, Christmas in July, Hampers, Skyscraper, that insane movie with The Rock.
Yeah.
Tickets to that bad boy. 131060, when it's an object attacked you.
Just attacked you viciously.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Got stuff to do but don't want to miss any of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed? Download and subscribe to the podcast now at todayfm.com.au.
Cynthia's been attacked by an object. Were you? Because a poor old Brit was got an umbrella through the leg on the beach. Cynthia, what attacked you?
So it attacks not only just myself, not no one else in the family, the corner of the bed when you walk around. Your pinky toe.
It's a classic, Cynthia.
Yeah, and it is just aiming for you.
Never anyone else. Yeah. Never anyone else, just myself. Yeah. Every single bed in the house. I don't know why. I just... God.
Yeah, we have a thing at the end of my bed, like a, I don't know, what do you call them? You know, the little...
Like a little table, like you sort of sit down and put your shoes
on. The end of your bed?
Aren't they called a T-bone?
Something like that.
To, I've seen them called that somewhere.
Yeah, something like
Shana
that.
Shana Blaze called
or,
it that.
Or a blanket box.
And I walk my shin. And no one does. I get up in the middle of the night and I walk straight into it every single time.
Padded. Those things have to be padded. So thank you, Cynthia. I'll give you something in a minute. So Andrew from North Richmond.
That was ominous. I'll give you something in a minute, Cynthia.
Hang on to your hat, Cynthia.
It'll be Belinda Carlisle tickets.
You probably will. Andrew from North Richmond. What attacked?
Mate, I was standing there. We got a wonky floorboard in our kitchen, and I took a step back the other day to let one of the kids walk past me, and the fridge door opened and smacked me in the back of the head with the handle.
Bloody fridge door! Lined you up, didn't it, Andrew? It knew you were coming.
Oh, Andrew.
I tell you what, it knows you're coming. You just happen to walk past the thing, and it can open up on you sometimes. It's like, I've got to get under the house and fix that bloody floorboard.
Yeah. That sounds like an amazing feature you'd pay for, a fridge door that opens just when you approach it.
Oh, how's Andrew, how's the irrational anger that surges through you when an inanimate object does go you?
At 5 o'clock in the morning, not very rational.
Mate, I know, I just sear with red-hot rage when that happens. You can't yell at it, but you'll hit it back.
But tickets to Skyscraper, the new movie from The Rock, that's coming out. So Cynthia and Andrew have both got that. We've got Max, our producer there. You there, Max?
How you doing?
Yeah, this is somewhat frightening. What attacked you?
Oh, I have this collapsible wardrobe in my room because there's no built-in wardrobes. So it's this sort of spring-loaded one that pushes up against the ceiling and down against the floor so you can have your ceiling, your wardrobe hanging there. It's really quite great. But every now and then I'll just be minding my own business asleep. And then I'll just feel this thud and this massive noise. And I think, what's happening? Something's attacking me. And then all of a sudden, my entire wardrobe is collapsed on me in my bed. I've got like jackets, t-shirts everywhere. And I'm just in this state of like half asleep being like, what?
Okay. So the springs give out from holding top and bottom and it just collapses in like a concertina on you.
Yeah, because you have to sort of tighten it every couple of weeks so that it doesn't come falling down.
Like a booby trap. Sorry.
Now you know why it's called a collapsible wardrobe. Yeah.
Welcome to like renting. The end of Home Alone. That's like Home Alone. That's a trick that he played on the Wet Bandits. Well done, Max. 104.1 Today FM Breakfast, M, Grant and Ed. Now it's time for the next in our series of Ask Me Anythings. And today we're speaking with a sugar baby. Now, for those who aren't sure what that is, it's a woman that goes on a particular dating website to date wealthy men. They are called sugar daddies. The idea is, well, in exchange for companionship, they get pampered and receive expensive gifts. Hi, Anna.
Hi, how are you?
Now, my first question is, the guys you date, are they specifically older men?
Well, they're different ages, but usually they're wealthy men. Mm-hmm. So you can expect for them to be old.
Okay, so you're studying at the moment.
That's right.
And is this something you decided to do as a part-time job?
No, not at all. I decided to do it as a curiosity. I was watching random YouTube videos and I came across this video from a girl saying, I'm a sugar baby and I'm in this website and it's been working for me. I pay my rent. I pay everything. And I was like, really? I was like, okay,
let's get a try.
Okay. Yeah.
And how quickly after you signed up did you get a message from someone, a sugar daddy?
15 minutes.
Okay.
Wow. It was very quick.
And did you go on a date with that gentleman?
Yes.
And how much do they pay for that date?
Didn't pay me for the date.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of messages. So you get to pick who do you answer to. You can see their pictures and say, okay, this guy could be a scam. He looks weird or something.
Mm.
So
it's interesting, though, that you're thinking that they're a scam, because I imagine on the other side, a lot of men signing up to these websites would think that you are a scam. Mm.
Exactly. Yeah. In my case, I spoke to this guy for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
No, he was very respectful, like gentleman, very nice. And that's the only reason why I accepted to go out with him, because he was very nice.
Is it better for you than traditional dating of people of the same age and the normal ways, rather than doing it through the site and like this?
Well, what's the difference?
Well, you're only doing this for money, though, not romance, right?
Of course, I would love, I would like to fall in love, but
what did you get from him, this man?
well,
let's be real. I mean, that's what we all want to know. If you're a you're not being a sugar baby for free, like, you're getting things from it. So what did you get?
The check for the rest of my tuition at uni.
Oh, wow.
My goodness. I mean, this sounds too good to be true.
I couldn't believe it.
Because
like myself.
This, for me, invokes, I'd be afraid that if I heard my daughter was doing this, I'd be worried for her safety and if she, you know, if she's doing what she really wants to do. But it sounds like you found a generous friend. Like, this isn't the norm on this website.
Exactly. It's not that you have to give sex in return.
Mm.
What do your friends and family think about it?
They don't know.
Are you embarrassed by it? Like, would
No, not at all. I'm not embarrassed because I've done nothing wrong.
What would your family think if they found out?
Because I'm Latina. Mm. My parents are very strict and they believe in hard work, and I've worked myself very, very hard.
Yep.
But Australia is a very difficult country, and I didn't sign up to the website because I wanted money.
Mm.
Not at all. I have a job. I have a normal life. I go out with my friends on dates and whatever. But
I just feel like, I don't know, there's something about this doesn't sit right with me. And I feel like it doesn't sit right with you because you won't tell your parents. I think deep down you'll stop doing this when you've got your degree, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've paid most of my degree by myself.
Yeah.
And I sent a check back several times.
You did try to give it back. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I did give it back.
Okay.
Several times, but he kept sending it back and sending it back and sending it back.
Yeah.
That situation with that man does sound quite unique.
Like a unicorn.
If I've heard other stories in
I've
this
heard
world,
horrific stories.
I haven't heard stories like this one. So it sounds as though you either A, got lucky, or B, chose well. This is somewhat of a unique case. So, hey, Anna, thank you so much for telling us your story today. We wish you all the best of luck in the future.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Now listen. Today FM's Sing It Out, Sydney.
Sing a melody. Yeah.
Here we go, 7:04. If you know the next line to one of these Today FM classics, you win yourself some cash. And this morning we say hello to Louise in Padstow.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, going really well. Going really well. Okay, this is pretty simple. We're going to play a song. When it stops, you've got to sing the next line perfectly. Word perfect, okay?
Good luck, Louise.
Okay.
All right.
Off we go.
You just got to ignite the light. And let it shine.
Kiss on the light, like the 4th of July. Cause baby, you're a firework.
should we check the tape?
Well, can we clarify that first bit? What did you sing? What are the first bit you sang there? Just say the words.
I forget.
You got to ignite the light and let it.
Yeah, you got to ignite the light.
No, please stop singing.
Keep going. Let it shine. Now? Yeah. What was that, Louise? What was the next bit?
Libby, you're the fire.
You missed a whole line.
She doesn't know the words.
It sounded like to me she got it the first time around, no?
Yeah.
I feel like she just sung what it sounded like. I mean, I'm happy to give it to her if you guys
felt,
are.
I felt like she got it the first time.
Yeah, I agree.
I did.
Let's check the tape.
Sure. Just on the night, like the 4th of July.
You know what? I'm going to give it to her. That's it. $900.
Thank you.
Hello.
Okay, because I feel like she went.
Thank you so much.
Just
no, I didn't. No.
Oh, you've got the money, Louise. You can own up to it now.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Louise.
She definitely did not know the words. No,
but that's what happens with music lyrics. Lyrics live in your mind in a certain place where you need the run up.
Yes, you do need the run.
I didn't know it was just own the night. I didn't know that was the nuance of that line.
I did.
I didn't know it was own the night.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have got it. But, nah, but I'm not Louise from Padso.
Nah, we've given her the money, but just for my own well-being, can we get the tape, please?
Of course we can.
She's a stickler.
I am.
Loves,
you know,
a rule.
$900, another chance to play with MC at 9 o'clock. The rescue of the Thai boys from the cave. Hey? June 23rd, Grant, 12 boys and the coach of the Wild Boar soccer team had planned to explore the Tham Luang cave in Chiang Rai for about an hour after soccer practice.
Just wanted to have a little look.
Just wanted to have a look.
Just a little exploring.
Yeah, let's go for a wander.
Yeah.
Heavy rain flooded the tunnels, trapping them.
God.
July 2nd is when the British divers found them, several kilometres inside the complex cave system. Then it was July 8th to the 10th when the Navy SEALs and global team, including some Australians.
And Elon Musk, thank God.
Muskie.
Turned up with his submarine.
Well, don't tell Elon his toys don't work.
No.
Doesn't he fire back?
Did you see he released the email chain just so he could reassure everyone he was told to continue on with the submarine? He released the emails.
Just let it go, man. Just let the little boys just have their moment with their families and just be thankful they're out.
It's not what matters. What matters to Elon is that his toys work. Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
So we heard from the boys the overnight, Thai time, they've had a, there's only one English speaker communicated with the initial rescue plan. So he's talking to, everything was going through him in the cave as they were saying, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do. So here's some of what they had to say. First bit was, so this is the interpreter that you're going to hear, saying sorry to their parents.
I would like to say sorry to my parents. I knew if my mom knew that, that she would reprimand me for sure.
Their parents didn't even know they were going into the caves, guys.
No.
So you drop your kid off at soccer practice, as we've all done.
See you guys.
And you get back to get them and they're 7Ks underground. What now?
That's so bad.
What the heck? Can you imagine how, once you know they're safe.
Yeah.
Then you'd sit them down and go, mate, you are grounded.
You need to make a choice. It's either caving or soccer. Because
let's go with soccer.
I love that their parents had no idea that they were there. That's the first one. The first thing to come out of it.
And so the coach, who's only, I believe, only 25 years old himself, he was like the sort of, the rocker that there was. I read somewhere that he'd been taking them through meditation while
Is he a former monk? The coach?
I don't know that.
He was teaching them meditation because obviously they're obsessed by the thought of hunger. And even like the littlest one, who's just 11, said he was obsessed by the thought of fried rice and dipping sauce the whole time. The poor guys.
Each of the boys have gained about 3 kilos each since they got out. That tells you how much weight they lost. So here's the coach talking about what he was saying to the boys.
We were determined to find a way out. We tried to calm down. I told everyone to fight on, to have a good spirit.
Wow.
Yeah, but have we all forgiven him?
Yeah. Taken him in the first place?
Yeah.
I don't think...
I struggle with that bit. Okay. Why did he do that?
Well, they weren't to know that the rising water was going to come and block them in. It was an innocent idea that was badly timed.
Caving?
Well, maybe he thought
in monsoon season is an innocent idea.
Yeah, that's true. But what if they were going to go and he said, I'll go with you? You know what I mean? If they were going to go with that, and he said, look, if you're going to go, then at least let me come with you. I don't know.
Okay, well, if you're forgiving him,
we don't have these guys go into this cave all the time. I don't know. Maybe it was just the odd time that there was extra rain. I don't know. Maybe it's their regular go-to place.
So some of them, they were asked about their career dreams, what they might like to do with their lives now that they've had a second chance at life. This is what some of what they
I would like to become a professional footballer, a soccer player, as well as a Navy SEAL member.
Oh, that's a good slashy.
What a legend.
What a job.
What a legend.
Just Navy SEAL on the weekend, during the week, and then playing for like Juventus on the weekend.
Ronaldo / Steven Seagal. What a legend.
What a movie idea too. Thank you.
And then the tribute to the diver who sadly lost his life, the former Thai Navy diver who died while he was working underwater, laying oxygen tanks along a potential exit route out of the cave complex. So they had a framed pencil sketch that they'd done of the diver. This is what they had to say.
We thank you in sacrificing your body as well as your heart. I am sorry for your family.
Oh, and so then even the bit of how they got water, because there's water everywhere, but you can't drink it. They had to lick the walls.
The walls.
There was water coming down.
Incredible. I mean, you know what the amazing thing is? When these guys are our age, they're not going to remember it.
Do you not think?
Well, I don't remember much from 11, do you?
Yeah.
Yes.
What are your earliest memories? What age?
Like grade 5, yeah, 10, 11, but not really great ones, just weird ones, like when I got locked in the stinky tunnel with Jade Barclay.
Well, that's like this, but
not the stinky tunnel.
We're only there for an hour.
I reckon my first memory is like 3. It was a traumatic one, but I reckon
3.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything
pre-10. I dropped into a pool
10.
Accidentally, and I remember sitting on the bottom of the pool looking up and wondering what was going to happen, and someone reached down and grabbed me and pulled me out.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So you've always been in game shows. You've always had that sort of... sort of element to your life. Glad it worked out, mate.
Yeah, thank God.
And glad this worked out.
You can enjoy Today FM breakfast with M, Grant and Ed anytime, anywhere. Just download and subscribe to the podcast now at todayfm.com.au.
M, joined in studio.
By my friend, and if you can't use your own radio show to help your friends out, what's the point, Ed? Jamila Rizvi, welcome in.
Good morning. Hello. There are some friends who lend you their car when yours is getting fixed, and Em has you on the radio.
Yeah, that's all the time. They'll say to me, do you want Jamila? I don't even know what she's talking about. Yeah, sure, whatever.
So you're here to talk about Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
and my upcoming involvement.
Oh, no, I've misread the sheet. Sorry.
She's not. And usually Jamila will be involved in something with a lot of heart and a lot of integrity, so it's a nice switch up for all of us.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, I am working on a new project called the Healing Hearts Project, mm-hmm. which is with the Australian Childhood Foundation and The Body Shop.
Okay.
They have teamed up together to help out basically kids who are suffering from abuse in Australia and who have suffered abuse. Now, mm-hmm. there's a whole lot of money and work in this country that goes into preventing abuse, as it should, but this project is about helping kids who've already been abused and helping them to heal. So what they've done is they've created these specialist dolls which help psychologists be able to work with really little kids who aren't old enough to have the language mm-hmm. to process what's happened to them.
Okay.
And we're not talking about like shoving a kid a Barbie doll and being like, yeah, what, you know, is the doll sad?
Yeah, yeah.
These are really specialist designed dolls. There are going to be psychologists and counselors who are trained to use them, and they help kids disclose what's happened to them and then mm-hmm. process what's happened to them.
Okay. And so obviously to make the dolls, it costs money.
Yeah. So designing the dolls costs money, getting them to counselors, and also counselors can't just use them straight away. Mm-hmm. They require an amount of training that is involved with the dolls. For example, one of them's a snail, right?
Okay.
And the whole idea of kids who are likely to be in foster care or are separated from their parents for abuse reasons carry their home on their back, right?
Aww.
So a lot of these dolls are metaphors to help the kids process what's happened to them and feel like it's not only them who's going through
something. Because the snails carry their home, so you're teaching them that if, as long as you've got a few of your things, you'll have a home with you within you.
Your home's in your backpack.
Oh, God, that's so nice. So how do we help? What do we do?
Well, for the next 12 months, starting this week, the Body Shop is going to send $3 from their Almond Milk and Honey Body Lotion, which I've tested.
It's
and
good.
Feels excellent.
Okay, great.
And like, I don't know, it feels lovely, smells lovely, all
good.
Sorts of good
excellent.
Things.
Who cares? But you just pick it because it's helping.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Do a good thing. And if you're going to go shopping anyway and you're going to buy some stuff anyway and we're all hopeless consumers, mm-hmm. why not buy something from a brand that's like The Body Shop that's going to do some good in the community?
Okay.
Right. So they're sending $3 from every body lotion for the next 12 months towards this project.
And we also have some Body Shop vouchers to give away, Ed.
Yes, we do, which is very nice. A 13-10-60, Jamila's brought in a $340 Body Shop Australia vouchers to give away. So 13-10-60, if you'd like some of that. The Body Shop's often where you find out about a new berry. So
it's true.
Because before you know it, I remember so clearly walking past the Body Shop in the city one day and looking across and going, what on earth is a boysenberry?
It's true.
And they'd worked out that, A, there was such a thing, and you could put them on your, you make something in your for your body out of it.
Did you know what
it's
else?
It's delicious.
You were sniffing girls in the 90s, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we all, like, yeah, seriously. And if you were a girl in the 90s, you had some white musk. You know, like that was
takes me back
awesome Dewberry.
Oh, Dewberry, that was
you know, Dewberry. And the Dewberry was what. And if you were babysitting, you'd save up. I mean, remember the Body Shop lip balm tubs?
Yes,
and you, so and, you, and they were so expensive,
and they weren't really for your lips; they were more for eating.
Oh, definitely for eating. But I just remember, and they've maintained the rage. You can still get those flavors at the Body Shops. What I like. Take me back to my youth with some Impulse and some Dewberry.
There you go. It's
nothing to do with anything, but.
Healing Hearts Project.
Go along and help. Jamila, you're a good woman.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for having me. Thank you for you guys for helping out.
No worries.
Anytime. More details on our website, of course. See you soon.
131060. What have you seen on Tinder, Bumble, Plenty of Fish, Grindr, Scruff, Boy Ahoy? Ahoy, ahoy. That's kind of raised your eyebrows because sometimes I feel like people don't understand how to put their best foot forward.
I wouldn't.
You know, you often see, you would know not to put a picture of yourself up nude holding two guns, though.
Oh, is that what happened?
Is that a no-go zone?
That's not this story, but I can tell you, do you know how many times I've seen, or just dudes thinking it's cool to, like, be sitting with a dead animal that they've killed?
What?
Whoa, hang on.
Yeah, or maybe, like, just double parked with some Jim Beams and smiling to the camera.
That I imagine is that's somewhat cool. Common. Isn't that saying I'm fun?
No,
really
saying
fun?
I have a drinking problem.
Saying I'm, it says I'm from Mount Isa.
Yeah. Or I've got a spare drink.
So that's correct, and this could be for you.
It's yours, baby.
Ladies. So a creepy Tinder profile has actually sparked concerns for anyone that dates this woman. Now, her name is Nicole, and she's a registered nurse. Now, I'm going to read you her profile.
A nurse.
That's the best. I love nurses.
They're the best kind of humans.
Now, when you hear the profile, her occupation may disturb you.
Okay.
Nicole, this is in her bio. I'm looking for a lifetime partner who is really hardworking, humble, healthy, written in capital letters, and trustworthy.
That's great. They're good ambitions.
No alarm bells, guys.
Totally fine.
He must have both lungs and kidneys.
Right.
Okay.
Heart with a sinus rhythm. Non-smoker.
Specific.
An occasional drinker is fine, but you must not take any substance that could damage your liver.
damage the liver.
To me, I'm no climate scientist, but I feel like this woman's going to harvest someone's organs if she happens to get a swipe right.
It's going to start with a drink, then you're going to go off into a very deep sleep, and then you are going to wake up in an ice bath, missing half your internals. There's no doubt.
Do we know what a sinus rhythm is? Is that sort of 4-4 times?
I feel like is a sinus rhythm. Yeah, the healthy.
That one. Okay.
But it's an itch. You know, some people put in their Tinder profile, love long walks on the beach and puppies. I don't think I've ever read someone asking for to make sure that it's mandatory you have both lungs and kidneys intact.
And how would I, like, I don't know about this. Like, I might meet her and we have a great time. And then she's like, well, time for the liver test.
Well, can you grab it to the x-ray machine? But I've just got this x-ray here I like to lay down in just at the end of the date. But look, it happens. And I did see, I'll have to tell you, when I was single when Scott and I have separated for a year. And on 131060, what have you seen on Tinder, Bumble profiles? What have you seen? You've just gone nut. There was a guy who was just the back of him nude and he had like a whippersnipper in his hand.
Yes.
And he was holding it up. It was just his ass, boots and a whippersnipper.
Yeah.
And the bio was, I like to kill things.
Oh.
Swear to God. And this guy decided that was his best foot. But I just feel like.
So whippersnipper. So
yeah, guns were too far, but whippersnipper was okay.
I've seen guys with gunshots, but guys holding guns, they think it's amazing.
So nude and a whippersnipper. Was it Don Burke?
Imagine Don Burke's profile. Jesus Christ.
Swipe. No, thank you,
sir. Set the phone on fire. What have you seen? And I want to know from people, you've been on the apps and I know you're all on it. Apparently Plenty of Fish is the big one at the moment.
I have, from my single friends, a single mate of mine's just moved to Bondi. And he said, quote, the apps are out of control.
That's
but
good.
Not everyone gets the profile picture or the bio right.
Excellent.
So give us some of the more disturbing / funny ones.
131060, what have you seen on people's profile pics? On 131060, what weird, wacky, creepy things have you seen in profile pictures, profiles on the apps?
Because ideally you're putting your best self forward,
surely,
right?
That's
your
the
best
idea.
You're selling yourself to get a date. Mm. And a woman named Nicole, she popped up on her Tinder profile that she wanted someone who was trustworthy and healthy, but they also must have both lungs and kidneys, a healthy heart, and nothing that would damage their liver, which led a lot of people to believe that she was planning on harvesting potential date's organs. That's not very, I mean, that's a bad end to a date, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah. Losing a kidney.
She was lovely.
It's not great.
But,
I mean, you wouldn't go back and
get
a second date, would you?
There's red flags when it's booked at the radiology centre for the first date.
Jocelyn from Parramatta, what did you see on? Hello, mate.
Hello.
What did you see on Tinder?
I saw someone write, he wrote that you won't be my first and you won't be my last with a wink face.
What? Oh. And he thought that was charming?
It's disgusting and sleazy. Ew!
Jocelyn, do you agree that a lot of people are clueless on how to put their best foot forward on Tinder?
Very. But I think he thought it was just a joke.
Oh, he's trying to be funny guy.
Yeah. What's in your Tinder bio, Jocelyn? What does yours say?
What does my say on that?
What is your Tinder? Oh, yeah, what's your profile?
My profile, fun. Someone fun, down to earth, honest. Like, you know.
Do you care do you care about the function of their kidneys at all?
Yeah.
No, I don't care.
Thank you, Jocelyn.
Good on you, Jocelyn.
Beth from Camden. Beth, what did you find out in the profile on Tinder?
I found Tinder.
Say it again.
So it was like a couple photos. So it was a photo of the two of them. And then I scrolled through, I looked at the description and it just said like looking for someone to have fun with and spice things up. And it was like, please do not message us if you're joking. So I actually think it was legit.
Swingers.
They were looking for a third. Oof.
And they also said that they were happy to take males or females. So good to know that they weren't fussy.
Not picking.
Keeping the options open.
Yeah, 50% chance more of finding love.
But hey, great. Beth, that is
I didn't know that was
a Channel 9 television show, if ever there was one.
There's a swingers app. It must be.
That has to be. Now if I said yes really quickly, then that would be suspicious. So I have no idea.
I'll Jess, send you the link.
Yes. Jess from West Pennant Hills.
Hi,
what did you see in a profile?
Well, I was just swiping through, found this cute guy, right? Decided to swipe through photos because, you know, I didn't want any creeps. Got to the first photo, really cute. Second photo, a little bit weird. There was, and then third photo, adult diaper. Like, I really thought, like, adult nappy. I thought he was kidding. But no, he was serious. So, not
an adult,
so there.
Like, he was wearing an adult nappy.
And in his, like in his bar, I can't remember what it said because I've not been on it for a while, but...
Did it say which NRL club he was playing for at the time? Or did you have to guess that from his tattoos?
No, he liked to wear them in his profile,
at least he's
front foot.
He's putting it out there.
Yes. He's not hiding it.
Just looking for a mama figure who can wipe your bot.
People like brunettes and some people like to wear adult nappies. You know? And I think as long as you're up front about the adult nappy situation, I have no problem with
it. Did he write anything in there associated with that or was it just the photo was the only clue?
He wrote in that he was into it, but I'm certainly glad that I swiped to look at the photos that day rather than nilly-willy. You know?
Yeah, that's true. If you don't put that first, like if that's photo number 5, you might have met the bloke and gone, is that all you're wearing? Tickets to see Stomp at the Capitol Theatre. Well played, everybody. Get ready for this, everybody.
Entertainment.
When Mimi falls apart, you easy. When Tay Tay gets in a fight with Kanye. When you click on Justin Bieber's dick pic. Entertainment.
News coming out this morning that Meghan Markle is finding it hard to adjust to the Queen's rules.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, it's a very busy morning.
I thought they were getting on like a house on fire.
Well, apparently, I just found out, did you know that the royals aren't allowed to vote?
Yes.
She can't vote.
No.
So as a black woman who would have had family members fight for her right to be able to do that, she now is not allowed to vote.
Well, because they have to be impartial.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I would find that quite hard as a feminist. The thing I would find most hard, though, is she has to wear stockings all the time. Even in the heat, hot part of the day, she cannot be seen with bare legs in public. This is a rule that the Queen has in place for all the female members of the royal family. On a practical level, sweaty box, guys, it's a thing.
Oh my goodness.
And, like, if you've got to wear nylon around the area, you know, and it's a hot day and you're walking and you're greeting the crowds, I'll tell you, that's got to breathe. She's going to get some yeast infections, I'll tell you right now.
That's not
all
what
I think
they
about
want.
For her. No. You know, and, God, that's why she's always in linen, so it breathes. I know. You know what I mean?
What about Kate's been seen in activewear when she remember when she played hockey and when she met other sports people?
But were her
people?
Legs covered?
Yes, they were actually.
Mm. So if you're going to show leg, got to have some spandex on those babies.
Wow.
So look, you know, she's also not allowed to wear pants if she's around the Queen. So if her and the Queen are hanging out, have some t-shirt, got to have a skirt on.
Huh.
A lot of rules.
It's like a nightclub with a really strict dress code.
Or the Amish, one of the two.
Yeah.
Now, Paris Hilton has... I mean, if this were 1996, we'd all really care. Paris Hilton has called Lindsay Lohan a pathological liar on Instagram.
Yeah.
So apparently the two are still angry with each other. The fight started back in 2006 when they first started fighting. And then someone recently asked Paris if she'll be inviting Lindsay to her wedding to the DJ. Remember the DJ?
Yeah, that's worked out.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah. And she said, if you haven't got anything nice to say, don't say anything nice at all or something. Bullshit.
Gosh.
And then there was someone posted a picture of, oh my God, I don't care. I'm never going to finish this. I don't care.
Didn't even get to the end.
I don't care. The biggest gossip. I mean, can the celebrities do, can someone have a sex tape scandal? Because I tell you, it was dry out there today.
Never
I
saw life, life I leave your face.
I've just gone to the internet to find out what happened to start the feud.
What?
2006.
Yeah.
We'll repost it. There was a video in which Lohan accused Paris Hilton of pouring a drink on her and hitting her.
And then didn't Lindsay try to give a homeless woman Paris's jewels?
Well, now we're getting somewhere.
Now, in my mind, there's a weird memory of a fight over someone giving a homeless woman a very expensive necklace.
Are we sure that's not just Tori Spelling?
Possibly.
Just having a bad night?
Possibly.
Well, there you go.
And finally, a giant 25-foot effigy of Jeff Goldblum. Kim told me I have to tell people who he is.
Surely everybody knows.
No one, I mean, it's Jeff Goldblum.
I understand what she means. It's one of those people that when they see him, they would know, but from a name, possibly
really?
Not. Yeah.
I mean, I knew him from The Big Chill because my mum loved that movie.
Jurassic Park.
He was in the recent Thor movie.
Yeah.
He's great. Anyway, a big sexy statue has been erected in front of London's Tower Bridge.
Why?
Sexy.
For no
Paris
reason.
Paris Hilton put it there?
Just says, makes sense. It just actually says no reason. Someone just made it because they love him.
That's fun.
Oh, that was
big
a
day.
God, I probably just clocked entertainment, guys. Everyone can just go have a nap.
See you, dude.
Get all the M, Grant, and Ed you've missed. Download and subscribe to the podcast now at todayfm.com.au.
Today FM's $200,000.
Beat the bomb.
Beat the bomb.
It is 8:14, time for Today FM's $200,000 Beat the Bomb. It is Lee from Glenmore Park. Hello, Lee.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
Good doll. What do you need cash for right now?
A wedding dress ASAP.
Okay.
When's your wedding?
The date approaching.
It's in February and I haven't ordered one yet. Apparently it takes 6 months.
Nah, you'll be right, mate.
I hope so.
Pretty. Yeah, you'll be good. You'll be good. Let's do it.
Okay, so how much are you hoping for?
Around anything like $2,000-ish.
$2,000-ish.
Fair enough.
Cash bomb's loaded. Got to chill. Stop before the bomb goes off. You know, if you do that, you'll get the last cash amount revealed. If the bomb goes off, you get nothing. That all makes sense. You ready to light that fuse?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
$800. $930. $1,120. $1,390. $1,700.
Stop.
Whoa.
$1,000.
Nice one.
$700. Congratulations, Lee.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God,
that is so exciting. That means everything.
Oh, you'd be able to get a beautiful dress, but I got the feeling it might have been going a bit higher.
Yeah, I felt like we had some time to go. Let's see how far you could have gone.
$1,860. $1,910. $2,000.
Wow. That's close, though.
Yeah.
You did really well. Well done, Lee. We play again at this time tomorrow. Today FM's $200,000 Beat the Bomb. It is 16 minutes past 8. Em, when we're back, it's time to delve into the secret life
of teenagers.
Uh-oh.
I just spent 3 days doing a short film with my daughter and some of her mates, and I learned some stuff, guys.
Oh, man. Oh,
and I just feel like if you're near a teenager or you're around a teenager or you are a teenager, let's have a chat next.
Okay.
You've got all this to look forward to.
I know. I'm 7 and I'm already dreading what's to come. I'm turning off. I'm taking my cans off.
No, this is good. Okay. I learned some good stuff. Kids are good and...
otherwise?
Out of control.
Yeah. 16.
No.
secret life of teens.
Oh, man.
I'm appointing myself a teen spurt.
Well, you've got one.
Well, I do have one.
One and a half, almost.
Really. Well, I have an 11-year-old and a 16-year-old.
Yeah. Is this going to be helpful, or is it just going to freak us all out?
I just want to do this to help all the parents of Sydney. And I also want to do it to help the teenagers of Sydney who listen to us, because I know a lot of them do.
Yep.
And so I guess I got to spend 3 days with my daughter and a bunch of her mates because she was filming a short film.
Right.
And I was driving them around and, you know, assistant directing, whatever, guys. Yelling at people. And I was listening in on their conversations, and I realized that I have absolutely no idea what's going on.
Well, I would assume so.
In the lives of a 16 and 17-year-old in 2018. Because I can tell you it is vastly different to what was going on for me in 96 when I was that age.
Mm. Hang on, are you talking your kids or other kids? Because you're pretty close with your kids.
I'm very close with my kids, and I'm also very close with my kids' mates. They all trust me. I'm the youngest mother of the crew probably by 10, 15 years. Okay. And, you know, I also, let's be honest, I dress like an art teacher on crack. Like, I never really grew up. And so I guess what I wanted to kind of talk about today, and look, 13, 10, 60, I'd like to hear from parents, do you want to know what your teenager's getting up to, or would you rather do it like we did it? Like, I don't know, did your parents know what you guys were doing?
I was boring though, so like,
were you?
Yeah, I had there was not much to know. So you
what
know.
About you in Bathurst, mate?
Oh, my mum was more wild than me. She just looked me straight in the face and she just said, "Don't even dare, because I did it before you, and I probably did it 10 times worse or harder."
Wow.
And I was like, "Okay, you got me, mum. Back to the library, I go."
Oh, whatever. Behind the bush with the pawns you found, whatever. I realized I thought I knew. I thought I was pretty up with it. And then they were talking about friends of theirs, and there were things like, these are some of the topics. There was a lot of drugs.
Whoa.
A lot of sneaking out late at night.
How do you sneak out? People always say they snuck out. How would you sneak
out a window? Older boyfriend with car driving.
You're kidding me.
Gone.
But parents aren't they tuned like the slightest door? They're up.
Not when your baby ears kind of stop when they're about 10. So, you know, you hear every tiny move of a small person all the time. And if they're silent, you worry.
Yeah, go in.
But when you've got a teenager, I don't know, I've stopped being attuned to her movements because she's, you know, she's 16,
she's self-contained, yeah.
But there are things going on that I realize that I need to lean way back in. I always thought that as your kids got older, then, you know, you don't have to do much as a parent. You just got to make sure they don't hit the sides.
Right.
But what I've realized is with what's going on with some of her friends and some of the friends' friends by extension is that I need to lean way back in and equip my daughter to deal with things like drugs, alcohol, sex, sex.
Scare me for a second. How young are we talking for drugs?
Young. 13, 14.
Oh, my God.
And the thing is, you can choose to go about this two ways as a parent. You can say, no, not me. And if you find out your kid's done it, you punish them and you scare the death, you know, scare the life out of them. They're going to do it anyway. My advice to parents now is that you have to talk to your kids as though they are your equals, because they actually are in terms of what they know, because they carry around the internet in their pocket and you let the internet and the world into their bedroom at night with the door shut. And unless you're watching what your kid is doing on their phone the whole time, I mean, it's porn at a touch of finger. It's boys watching porn at school. Mm. It's easily accessed, and the drugs are easily accessed, and the alcohol is easily accessed, and there are things going on that, oh my God, that made my toes curl. It really did.
So, but if you've got, some parents rely on snitches too, don't they? You can't, like, one kid dobbing on others. There's that sort of natural kind of competition between kids.
Mm-hmm.
I know certainly that friends of mine had, you know, like four brothers, and the youngest would tell on the oldest and that type of thing.
No, kids are tighter nowadays. Yeah.
So have you managed to do it? Because you've got a great system with your kids, and your kids are wonderful kids.
They are good kids. My system is, we have a no dickheads policy in our house, first of all. But the policy with...
Explains why I haven't come over for a barbecue.
Correct.
Thank you.
They're going to get in more trouble if I find out they've lied than if they flat out tell the truth straight up. And that's always been... Scott and I made that promise. If we find out you've lied after, there's hell to pay. But if you come to us and say, hey, I've stuffed up, or I'm scared, or this is happening, or someone did this in front of me, then we're not allowed to yell when we have to talk it through.
Does that work?
Yeah, right. It does work. Because, you know, you have to have an open door policy with teenagers now with what's going on. You cannot turn a blind eye. Parents, please, please listen to me. There is stuff going on. They know more than you do about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, I'll tell you. So I think you have to now lean in to your kids. Mm. And there's going to be a lot of kids getting home from school today. And mum's going to sit there and go, are you taking drugs?
Yeah,
you
hey,
can
man.
Tell me. It's fine.
Come over, sit down.
Belinda and Sanctuary Points phoned in. Hello.
Go on, Belinda.
Hi.
What do you reckon?
Well, I have a 19-year-old and a 14-year-old, and when the 19-year-old was turned 18, he told us what he was doing, like, at the ages of 12 or 14, and he was drinking alcohol underage and getting to the point where he got really intoxicated and didn't tell us about it, and also smoking drugs underage as well, and we kind of knew what was happening, but, you know, he didn't tell us until after he was 18.
Do you wish you had have known at the time?
Well, we kind of had an inkling, but, like, if he turned to us, especially the drinking underage and the way he got, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And he could have got really sick and he could have died. Like, he was vomiting and...
See, the thing at the parties now is parents ask for notes and all the kids forge them.
Yeah, of course.
And the note isn't enough. My opinion, and I know this is really prudish and dumb, don't drink if you're under 18. Yeah. And that's the discussion I've had with my kids.
And you talk about the real dangers of dying, and she says that, and it sounds dramatic, but it actually can be true. You know, my sister was at a party, and she was always a very sensible one in her friend network, and they would get, you know, quite drunk, and it was a common thing to do on the weekend amongst her tight friends. They'd find a loose parent who would give them the house for one night for a party, and they'd all go around there, and one kid was so drunk that he was passed out, and everyone was like, fine, he's cool, just let him go, he'll just sleep it off. They were stepping over him. She was like, no, this is not right, this can be severe. She luckily called the ambulance. He was in such a bad way, he had to have his stomach pumped, otherwise it could have been terminal.
Yeah.
Like, and had she not been that responsible one, it could have ended so tragically, but they weren't aware of that.
So
There you go.
So I just wanted just lean in, arm yourselves and talk to them. Treat them as equals. Don't treat them as idiots because they know a lot more than you do.
There you go. People looking for stuff to do in the school holidays, of course they are. So, Grant, you went off with your daughters to what yesterday?
Disney on Ice out in Homebush. 100 years of Disney. All the big shows all in one spectacular little location. So you've obviously Frozen, Toy Story, Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella. And you only had to wait another 5 minutes till your next favourite Disney movie had come along on ice. About 15,000 people there.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it was huge. Wow. It was huge. So Sailor went as Cinderella. And she was very happy because there weren't too many other kids dressed as Cinderella.
I saw the outfit. The crown was amazing.
It was good, wasn't it?
The shoes weren't great.
Where'd you get the crown?
Just from a toy sort of costume hire place.
Oh, you hired her a costume?
No, we bought a little cheap plastic.
You can buy it. It looked good, though. It looked good.
Yeah,
good.
Scout went as a half Elsa, half Anna, basically because Elsa's a bit boring. She's a bit sort of angry and grumpy. She's pretty and can sing, but then she likes kind of Anna a bit more because she's sort of fun and...
You'd be grumpy too if you had to wear oven mitts to touch yourself.
That's true.
That's true.
But as a dad, it was kind of good. There weren't too many dads in there. And there was a couple of uncomfortable moments as a dad because there's so many kids in there and who have much littler siblings, like little fresh babies, lots of fresh babies in there. And they need to be fed all the time. Now, I absolutely love this and I think people should do this all the time. When a baby needs to feed, it should feed because otherwise it's going to die. Feed it. So I turned left to chat to the woman next to me. Oh, she's breastfeeding. That's okay. I'll be with you in a second. Then I turn right and there's more breastfeeding over there and I can't talk to anyone. So I'm an uncomfortable dad who's just got his eyes locked on the stage, too afraid to look around. I didn't want to embarrass anybody.
Why
I just wanted to let them do their thing. I wasn't embarrassed at all. They're not embarrassed. I just didn't know what to do. I'm a guy and there are boobs out everywhere and I was just trying to look straight. Just look at the pretty lights and the dancing on the stage.
Can I just tell you, just look them in the eye. There's nothing sexual about breastfeeding.
No.
You don't have to worry about being misconstrued.
And that was awesome, and I just didn't want to ruin or interrupt anyone's experience. So as a dad...
You don't want to be seen a bit like... You don't want anyone to even get the idea that you're like... You're perving, basically.
Yes.
I know, but it's in your head.
If someone looks at you, I'm not perving, I just want to be cool, man.
I'm cool.
I'm like a racehorse with blinkers on now.
Yes.
Just trying to look at the stage while these babies, as you can hear, all these nappies being filled. It was a fairly sort of dramatic experience as well.
Yeah.
But then you lose your daughter in a crowd of 15,000 people dressed as princesses.
Yeah.
So I turn around. I go, has anyone seen Sailor? Where's Sailor?
Oh, no.
All I can see is just costumes and dresses and tiaras and hair pieces. So I'm running up to kids and I go, turn around, are you Sailor?
It's like a gay club at 3 a.m.
sorry, Cinderella. And then I run up and I grab, turn another kid around. Are you Sailor? Oh, that's Bella. Sorry. Has anybody seen Cinderella? And then I kind of run around and then I find her and find another character. It was the scariest thing in the world because everyone was the same height, wearing the same costumes,
The kids going crazy. Yeah. Like, how does it, what gets the biggest cheer? What's the most popular Disney?
Yeah, who's the most popular?
Definitely Anna and Elsa. When Frozen came on, everybody had nuts. Went nuts.
Do you have a bit of that? Here we go.
Oh,
so
man.
It's more you than me.
Nothing holds Scouty still ever for anything. She sat there for an hour and a half just clapping her little heart out. And you know what I realised during that song?
Mm.
Is that song about coming out? Is there a hidden undertone that song is about?
Well, there's always the idea that perhaps Elsa is a lesbian. Yes.
So she's holding it in. She has to conceal the secret that's inside
her.
No,
well, she's referring to the ice powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a metaphor?
Yeah, well, there is, if you go online, there's a lot of supporting evidence that perhaps she is the first gay Disney princess.
And I know that there, because, and then if you watch the film, you do see hints of it throughout. And then I noticed that there now is a petition to make Frozen 2 about her finding her female partner.
Wow, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
I just discovered that
together
while watching the show.
And did you sort of lay that theory out to the people around you?
Definitely.
No,
that would be
my eyes were locked straight on the ice. Yes. So I wasn't talking to anybody.
Boobs akimbo. 104.1 Today FM Breakfast. What a great headline. Sydney and the Zombie Towers. It's not a Walking Dead franchise.
I was going to say, can I move there? Are there ghosts?
No. Well, there are actually, Em, or perhaps there are. There's no way of knowing because the Daily Telegraph and other news outlets are saying a record glut of vacant apartments across Sydney suburbs is creating zombie blocks where one in four flats are now empty. Now, I know. What about Kellyville recorded a rental vacancy rate of 7.1% and 6.9% of rental homes sit empty in nearby in Box Hill. Joining us on the line is Ross Greenwood, Channel 9's financial editor. G'day, mate.
G'day. This could be Shaun of the Dead, maybe Night of the Living Dead. Yes. You can imagine around Sydney, don't you think? Zombie apartment blocks.
And
I love this.
And if they sell it like this, Roscoe, I would move in.
So would I. I'm with you. We could share a flat together. That would be fantastic.
Wouldn't that be a reality TV show?
That is a wonderful
idea.
We'd get
the actors out. We'd be going for it. I think this would be fantastic.
So, Ross Greenwood, okay, so I got you on because financially, what on earth is going on?
Mm. All right, so what's happening is, as a result of the property market cooling in Sydney, there's a lot more empty properties around Sydney, many more than what they've been out there for 13 years, they're saying. So there's around 19,000 empty houses and apartments around Sydney.
So
and it's going to only accelerate because obviously you can see all the cranes, new apartments being built and all over the place. It doesn't matter whether you're in the west or whether you're in the northwest, southwest, whatever. There's lots of new houses going in. Mm. Problem is the population is starting to slow. The population growth is starting to slow. Mm. And there's now big questions about whether they can actually lease out all of these places. So what you're seeing in the property market in Sydney is a genuine tipping from it being all about the buyers and the owners, tipping towards the potential buyers and also the renters. The renters are going to get a better deal. You're going to find that now there's more choice out there and also that the rents are starting to come down. Now, they're still relatively high, I should say, because the property boom has obviously taken them much, much higher. But it's actually good news because over the next 2 years or so, this market is going to continue to go this way. You'll see more empty apartments, you'll see more choice out there and cheaper rents in many parts of Sydney as well.
How far will prices potentially fall? Like, how big could this effect be?
Well, in Sydney already, the prices are down 7% from their peaks.
Gosh.
You could see them go down maybe another 5% or even 7% from here. Mm. So that's the prices. But then rents over the past year are down nearly 2.5%. And so this is actually starting to show you that there's a little bit more pressure on the landlords. And particularly remember, a lot of younger people decided that they wouldn't go out there and buy their own place. Mm. What they do to try and get into the market is continue to rent or stay at home and then buy an investment property. Mm. Now, for those people, the key is to have a tenant because you've got to have a tenant to get the income to pay your mortgage. And so right now, with more empty places coming up, these so-called zombie places, you've really got a situation where people are going to be more desperate to try and keep up with the income and keep up with the mortgage, and that's the absolute key if you're an investor.
So who could be in trouble here? People who just have those interest-only loans?
Not only those, any investor. If you can't get a tenant and you're really strapped and really you're going to struggle to make the payments, if you don't have a tenant in the place, you're the one who's most exposed. And I do know even the Reserve Bank has just done a paper on this saying that younger buyers, newer buyers, are those people who might be most exposed. So those people who might have bought over the past 2 years or so, who haven't necessarily built up, if you like, the equity or cash inside their property. And really, if they don't have the tenant and it's an investment property, they're the ones who might be exposed if it's left empty for a period of time.
Wow. Okay.
So Ross get Greenwood. Some zombie tenants is what you're saying, Ross. That's what I took from that.
The good thing about zombies, M, is that they pay their rent on time.
And they're already dead. They'll be there forever.
Ross Greenwood, Channel 9's financial editor. You see him on 9 News at 6 o'clock every night. Good on you, Roscoe.
Thanks, Ross.
No problems at all. Bye.
Bye-bye.
One simple subscription and you get back-to-back podcasts from Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed. One simple change can make every day epic. And with new Optus prepaid plans, every recharge is epic.